Well, let's go ahead and get started. If you haven't been in one of my sessions already, I'm Dale Blair. I'm a high school teacher and athletic trainer at Wenatchee High School. And I teach sports medicine, fitness specialist, and health classes there. Like I said, I'm a certified athletic trainer and also certified as a strength and conditioning specialist. And we're talking about today some secrets, and I use that, I should put quotes on their secrets because these really aren't secrets. But the point of this is if you can do some things you're enjoying, then it's not even work. And you can see I'm going to talk about some things here that I do, and we can just look at some things. First of all, let's go and take a look here at the circle of wellness. I put this in all of my presentations. And some of my items just disappeared out of that one.
I thought it was a test.
Yeah, well, do it.
Huh. You want to know something funny? I have a presenter mode.
I want to tell them.
They're listed on that slide. Okay. Well, of course, we're looking at all of these. In fact, just to refresh my memory here, The two that we're missing on there are the spiritual and interpersonal, right in here. But we're looking at physical, emotional, intellectual, environmental wellness. And a lot of times, of course, just by being here in this lovely setting, this is the perfect place to work on this circle of wellness that we can work on all of these components. Okay, first of all, are we active? And of course, we know, we talked about this in our in the talk yesterday, that our society and culture has changed. The opportunity to move our bodies has decreased over the years. We see of all the things, we have drive-thrus, we have riding lawnmowers. Used to have to walk down to the end of the road to pick up our mail. Now we just drive up in the car and pick it up. Video games, sitting and watching television. However, the remedy to this, there's introducing a revolutionary new drug. Yes, it reduces the risk of heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, cancer. It helps to control weight. It helps to maintain healthy bones, muscles, joints. Reduces depression and anxiety, stress management. No, this new drug does not come in the form of a pill. You guessed it, it's physical activity. Okay, one word of caution, of course, we're going to start these programs slowly, just like the turtle here. The turtle actually has a great plan, because we know that if we keep things steady and constant, then we will be able to continue going. That's why our body will burn fat if we're working at like a nice constant level in that aerobic zone, where if we are like the hare, we're going to go up into that anaerobic zone, and we're not going to be able to last real long at that level. So I'd like to start slow. Of course, we know that the small changes add up to big benefits. Now, a lot of things add up. Here's kind of our focus and our vision of doing things that we don't normally think of as exercise. And that can be spending 10 minutes walking the dog. Taking the stairs instead of the elevator. Vacuuming is some work. We get lower body, upper body exercise in there. Walking to and from the car or at work, or just parking maybe a little bit farther out in the parking lot at the shopping center. All that adds up. If you put that on top of an exercise program, that's even a bigger bonus.
You know, that parking in the back of the lot, that has double benefit, really. The second benefit is that you'll get your doors dinged up.
Exactly. Save those door dings. Exactly.
So we make her park.
That's the safety of others, isn't it?
The biggest point that we're talking about here on this talk is the secret is finding things that you enjoy. Okay. And so it could involve anything on this list. Now, I got to say, mowing the grass doesn't always go on my list of things to enjoy. But sometimes I'm fretting that I've got to mow the grass, and then I got to get exercise in. And I think about, well, if I'm mowing the grass, that's part of my exercise program. So, see, a variety of things there. Of course, we've already talked about walking. Some other tips for adding steps to your day. Walking or biking to the corner store instead of driving. Of course, that's assuming whatever you're going to get at the corner store, you're able to carry back. We already mentioned taking the stairs, parking further away. Stand up while talking on the phone. Okay, I guess if you're just doing some moving around, we have portable phones now. It makes it a lot easier. You mentioned the dog walking. Habits of healthy people. They take the time to do things. Whether it's some of the things we were just mentioning that are our regular activities, they find things that they enjoy doing. They set a series of small, realistic goals. Too often, we set these pie-in-the-sky goals, and we set them to be done very quickly. I think we've mentioned this before, that so often you hear, lose weight fast. Everyone wants it to happen fast. They want results fast. Small, realistic set of goals. They enjoy feeling fit. Notice how much better you feel. I noticed it here this morning here. Since I was doing a talk, I didn't get out and do my exercise this morning. I'm going to do that some this afternoon. And I feel the difference. So they enjoy feeling fit. They don't make excuses. I mean, a lot of people, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. I can remember my one excuse one time was I didn't want to go exercise in the morning because I couldn't take a shower to put my contacts in. When I found out, heck, I can shower with my contacts in. They don't come out unless I'm shooting water into my face. So don't make excuses. I've long since gotten over that one. They don't criticize themselves if they miss being active. They view fitness as a lifelong habit. So I want to point out, this is a picture of my mother-in-law, who is a 75-year-old yoga instructor. And we're out on a hike here. So. Now, let's take a look at some fitness toys. We've mentioned these in some of my other talks, but let's talk a little bit more. Things that we can set goals. For example, the number of steps that we take in a day. And the pedometer is a great way to do that. We can obviously set what your stride length is, and then that way we can actually see the distance that we are walking. I've brought this one out before, the heart rate monitor. And the heart rate monitor can give you a lot of information. In fact, that one in the photo here is very, very similar to this one. And again, I wear it most of the time when I'm going out and hiking and running and things, so it can tell me the number of calories I'm burning. It can tell me where my heart rate is, how long I'm in the heart rate zone. You know, we always talk about, well, we want to do exercise that gets us into the heart rate zone for, you know, 30 minutes or 45 minutes. I've had hiking days where I'm in the target heart rate zone for 8 or 10 hours. And you think, who would go get on a treadmill or an exercise bike for 8 or, but go for a hike out here? Now, I know this talk had the word outdoor fitness now, but we're not always able to get outdoors. And I think I mentioned this in one of my other talks, but there are some what we call exergaming that you can do a lot of really neat things. With that. In fact, you don't want to take the trek to the ski hill. No, it's not the same as going down the hill, but it's really great for balance and control. We've talked about the proprioception and balance in other talks. That is an area that is a difficult one to work on. And a lot of times, if we don't have the time to get out and do outdoor activities, that we can do a lot of things with the extra gaming.
Well, that's not much. I mean, you know, your hands are something to, but that's about it, though, isn't it?
Your legs, too. These Wii games are really intense. Mm-hmm. I mean,
they are. And there's and now...
Your legs are used?
You just have to balance.
Right, because there's a balance board.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know.
You stand on a balance board, and that's how actually you turn on the balance board.
Oh.
Now, some of the Wii games, the Wii Fit system that we're talking about. Now, some of the games and things like the tennis and bowling just use the controller.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, the other game that you guys have is this, what's it called? Dance Revolution.
Yes, Revolution. And that goes with a lot of different ones, and that is an outstanding. In fact, to be honest, we have a DDR, Dance Dance Revolution game in our treatment center at the high school.
Oh,
no. It's hooked with our Wii system, and for a lot of our rehabilitation, we are using Wii. Yeah.
I tried theirs, and it's been a fool myself.
Right. There's a lot of other systems. This is works in a similar fashion as the Dance Dance Revolution. It has the mat with it, and you can do a lot of different things. One of my favorite is their version of the whack-a-mole.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to do it with your feet, so you know the little moles will pop up out of the holes, and you have to. And it's also really great for that mind-body connection where you actually be having to look at the screen and coordination.
What do you call that? What's that word? Proprioception?
Proprioception.
Proprio.
Proprioception. Yeah.
P-R-O.
P-R-O-P-R-I-O-C-E-P-T-I-O-N.
Why don't you mark it down?
Okay.
Okay.
And just a reminder on what that is: the sensory awareness of what a joint is doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got the definition. I just wasn't sure.
Right. Now, other incentives. I guess I just put this slide in here this morning. Now, to be looking, there is a restaurant in Wenatchee, and the owner is a real outdoors person. And what he has done, he has placed gift cards to his restaurant in remote locations, hiking locations. And this one happens to be in an area just outside of Leavenworth. And obviously the restaurant's in Wenatchee, so you'd have to drive 25 plus miles to this location, and then you have to hike a few miles. And he didn't send any coordinates. We're going to be talking about looking for things, doing some geocaching too.
Geocaching.
But for looking, there's a gift card underneath that rock. It may still be there too. So since I think he has posted this morning. So, but just something, whatever gets you out and moving, and that's what his goal is, to get people out and moving. Now let's do a little brainstorming here. Let's think of things that we can do in the outdoors to be active. Okay? A lot of people love bird watching. Okay? This is actually a bird that I caught. It was near Mount Rainier. And so let's brainstorm. Let's think of some other things that we could do in the outdoors to get us out and be physically active.
Oh. Yeah. Volunteer opportunities have a lot to do with physical.
Oh, that's a great idea.
What's that one?
Volunteer opportunities. A lot of them have to physical.
Dog walking.
Dog walking. And humane society and gardening around.
That's a great idea. Well, let's take another one here. How about flower or plant identification? A little side question. Can anyone tell me what that flower is?
Mitch is not here.
I know. It has been good.
This is a bitterroot.
What is it?
The bitterroot. Okay. So, whatever gets us out to where the bitterroot flower, anything else, it's the bottom line. What gets us out and motivates us to explore a bit. So we're going to...
That hike we took in the High Sierra, we had a ranger with us, and she had a magnifying glass, and she's showing us rocks and flowers, and she knew all that stuff.
Oh, neat.
It was great, yeah.
There you go. And that's kind of the added bonus there. So first of all, I'm going to kind of show you a couple of things that I do, and I know that a lot of other people do, that are interesting for getting out and doing things. First of all, geocaching. Has anyone heard of geocaching?
Yeah,
You do geocaching?
No,
yeah,
I
don't.
Now, you know, I'm going to show you, you know, there's a couple of geocaches in this area.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, of course, the entertaining outdoor game, adventure game for GPS users of all ages. Now, it used to be that the GPS, this is my GPS right here that I use when I am backpacking and hiking or geocaching. You know, this was a really unique thing when I started doing this. Now everyone's got one in their car, and you know, they have them on your phones, and so of course, as you know, the idea is there are hidden prizes, or in many cases, just a logbook that you sign in that has the latitude and longitude to be able to find various things. So how did all this get started? As you know, all these satellites that we use for GPS were originally the Defense Department, and still are. And the GPS signal in the year 2000 was this degradation was removed from it, so that you could actually get within 6 feet. And on May 3rd, someone hit a cache in Oregon. And within 3 days, it was visited twice and was logged into a logbook. So, there's one primary site for geocaching, and it's called geocaching.com. And you can go in there, you can get a free account, and you can then look for caches through various search criteria. Now, I went in and did a search. In fact, I'm just going to skip through to my next page so you can see it a little bit better. Okay, there is, at these coordinates, a geocache down the road.
Oh, for Winston Village?
Down in Winston.
Huh.
Okay? And so, you take these coordinates, and you know, when you're looking at the geocache, if you find your current position, and the way I look at it, if you see the position has a higher number, you're going to just want to start moving north. And if this has a higher west number, which obviously that is moving west towards Winston, that we know that we would have to move towards that number. And the whole idea is moving. What if geocaching is a lot of fun, but it gets us out and moving. The other one, you can guess where that one is, up on Honeymoon Heights. So those are the two that I could find that are in the Holden Village area for geocaching.
That one's difficult.
I have not looked for those. I'm planning to look for those here later this week. So geocaching to get you out. We know that the GPS users can use those coordinates to find caches. A lot of times there's a little trinket or something in the geocache that you can take that out. If you take something, you need to put something back in it. And then, of course, the find is then logged onto that geocaching website. Now, another key area is what they call cash in, trash out. Working on the more environmental end of things, that it actively promotes, if you're going in to do some geocaching, that you're also taking, if you're finding trash, you're removing trash from that area. So geocaching has been very in tune with the environment, and making sure that you know, they're not accused of, you know, people trampling. And they also have certain criterias of where you can set geocaches as well. We already know that the GPS unit can get us between 6 and 20 feet of that location. Almost anywhere on the planet. You just have to have a clear sky view, of course. Sometimes if you're under trees and things, that can be a bit of a problem. Of course, we know with the GPS, it knows and tracks where we are. It can also, a unit like this, can calculate your speed, elevation, direction, and give you a whole lot more information as well. Okay, so what's the exercise point of geocaching?
It gets you moving.
Yeah, it gets you moving. That's the point. So to access these geocaches, you need to walk, run, bike, however you want to get there. Okay? You will have fun and maybe even forget your expending energy. That is the point of all of these things. The secrets of an active outdoor lifestyle is to have fun. And a lot of times we think, oh, I have to get out to walk today. But instead, I'm going to go out and find a geocache today. Okay, the next one is photography, which is one of my passions. So, great exercise and great creativity. Now, I am not the classic artistic type person. You see, I'm kind of a little more, sequential kind of person. But I really enjoy the photography end of things, that creative part. In fact, this was taken last summer with my hiking partner, and we are deep in the hills. My partner's wife dropped us off on the top of Stevens Pass, which is one of the other passes going between here into the west side of the mountains, and then we just started hiking. And he had already left a car at a trailhead, completely different area that we were going to hang out to. And he is a photographer as well. We get out, and you can see this is just a little ridge right here. We had come up this big hill, and now we're dropping back down. This is a lake sitting way down below here. So, okay, so what's in my camera bag? Now, before I even show you and tell you about my camera bag, how many people brought a camera on this? Okay, great. So, what's really cool, today's point-and-shoot cameras, you can get really high-quality, good images. And, you don't have to be a classically trained photographer to be able to get out and do those. I'm just going to show you some of my things here. I had a Canon 7D camera. I mean, there are higher levels of cameras. I'm kind of a mid-range kind of thing here. But the one thing for me, it meets my needs for the kind of creativity that I like to shoot with. So I use that. The key is to also have, if you're going to get really creative and take photography to a little bit of a higher level, make sure you have some lenses that gives you some latitude. I have that lens on that camera right there is a 17 to 40 millimeter lens, which gives me a wider angle. There. Now, that 4 means the f-stops that are on the camera. It means that is as big as it'll go. It'll go to f4 is the smallest number, or I should say the biggest f-stop. My other lens is a telephoto lens. And this is a bigger one that if you want to zoom in. In fact, yesterday when I knew I was going to be hiking out to Monkey Bear Falls, I'm thinking, okay, on my way out there, if I run across a deer, I want to have this on to be able to get a shot. Knowing that if I have time, if I want to get a landscape, I have time to put that lens on to get a wider angle. The other thing, if you're doing certain kinds of photos, you may need a tripod, or at least to be able to find a spot to get your camera still. In fact, you see the beautiful flow of that water, that little waterfall right there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not sure if I had a tripod there, but I know I was anchored tight against a tree because to get that, I had to leave my shutter open for a longer period of time to get that blur in the water.
Is the IES that image stabilization?
Exactly. So that also, that image image stabilization gives me a couple of extra stops of camera shake. So a lot of times with a big lens, it's a little easier because it magnifies any movement. And so that feature is very nice. Okay, so what's all this talk about photography in a fitness talk? It's kind of going right back to geocaching, too. Whatever gets you out and moving. So here are some of my examples. I have a camera backpack that I put on when I'm mountain biking. Put that on, I'm out with my camera equipment. I hike and backpack with my camera equipment. This is from a couple years ago, a hike I took around Mount Rainier. And I gotta say, I love this picture so much. It's that we have a canvas of it behind our couch in our living room. And it just so happened, but if you just be at the right, you have to get out to this spot at the right time to get this photo. Okay, and that's why we're talking about getting out and getting moving. Now, we also talk about working on your creative side. Okay, I'll take a look. Okay, let's go back one. Same picture. That's called a polar panorama. You take a panorama and then you put it into, actually I used Photoshop, and it actually turned it into a circular photo. And a lot of times you see the ones that look like a little planet Earth, mm-hmm. a little circular picture. So you let your creative juices flow. Now, this is Icicle Ridge here, and this is Leavenworth, and this is a little mountain called Sour Mountain just outside of Leavenworth. And you're gonna say, well, that looks kind of funky looking. The one reason for using a tripod is to be able to shoot HDR, or high dynamic range. And with high dynamic range, you take three or five photos and you stack them on top of each other. And then you can put them into a program that will come up with all sorts of unique and interesting effects. And it's called HDR. So, but that's the one reason why a tripod is very helpful. Photography and mountain biking. This is just outside of Wenatchee. And yes, that really is a big rainstorm. It fortunately did not come my way that day. It kind of scooted right on by. Though this photo is actually also done in HDR too, so it's actually three photos sandwiched on top of each other. To show your creativity here, this is just opening up the shutter and doing like a blur in through some fall foliage and getting kind of a streaked effect there. Getting out and backpacking with family. This is a backpacking trip I took last summer with our youngest daughter, Katie, and this is at a falls there on the way to Colchuck Lake. Another reason for a tripod.
Yeah. And a timer.
And the self-timer, yes. And as I've mentioned to some of you, I was really fortunate last summer. I was able to take backpacking trips with both my daughters. And obviously, with my oldest daughter Anna, we came through Holden Village to Heart Lake. Now, the one difference between backpacking and hiking, because when you go hiking, you're typically going up in the middle of the day, and this was evening falling on Heart Lake, and a lot of times you don't get those shots. Usually mornings and evenings are the best time to get the nice light. And on that same trip, this is almost exactly 1 year ago. It was early July, and you could actually get to Lyman Lake in early July last year. You can see there is still some ice on the lake. Okay, here are some of my best photo tips for, okay. Most importantly, have fun getting where you're going. Enjoy getting out there. Always looking for new angles, whether you're shooting, getting down low to shoot something, you're up high shooting something. Look for some angles that are a little bit unusual. One key thing, always move things out of the middle. Everyone likes, okay, center the frame, dead on. Okay, try moving things off to the side. There's the old, the old tic-tac-toe board, the rule of nines where you have the nine sections in your frame and usually thinking of putting it up in one of those corners instead of just dead centering everything. Get closer than you think you need to be. Every time you take a picture and you get home, it's like, oh, I didn't realize I was that far away. I wish I would have zoomed in a little bit or got a little bit closer on that. Now, this one, wow, this can make a big difference. We love going out and being creative in the field, and I feel very strongly about that. But learn photo editing software. One program I use is called Lightroom. This is made by the Adobe Photoshop people. My photography skills have gone up dramatically in what I can do after I've already taken the picture. And you go with a lot of creativity.
Do you don't use Photoshop? Or?
You know, I do use, that's a good question. I use Photoshop some, if I want to do a panorama, for example, I didn't put any in the presentation, but I shot some panoramas of the Railroad Creek Valley last year and around Heart Lake and Lyman and such, and where you do the panorama, you take several pictures and you stitch them together. You can't do that in Lightroom. That's more of an advanced technique that you need to use.
I don't have Photoshop, it costs too much.
Photoshop.
Yeah, I think I had a Photo Elements or something like that.
Photoshop Elements. Yeah, and that's a great program. It has probably about 85% of what Photoshop has. So that's a great program. It's just the lighter version of the program and probably actually easier to use. So, cloudy days aren't bad. I got to tell you, I went hiking up 10 Mile Falls on Sunday. Remember, it was a nice, beautiful, sunny day. You know what? Nice, beautiful, bright, sunny days aren't always necessarily the best days to get those photos. I was actually on a loop yesterday and was in that vicinity again. In fact, I went out to Monkey Bear, and so I made a quick bypass and reshot my pictures because it was a cloudy day. Okay. Because it's that more even lighting. Mm-hmm. And you know, out here, if we take a picture right now, our eye adjusts really nice, our eyes. But camera, all it sees is like light and dark. Be quick, be ready. I think I already mentioned this. Be ready for the deer. Have the lens, like when you're walking down the trail, have that, or have your camera set where you need to have that. You'll have time to change for landscapes. Even though we have unique light, look for unique light because light can be your friend. Okay, so once again, the point of photography in an exercise talk, you got to get some energy to get out there. And we talked about earlier the circle of wellness. And I'm kind of coming all the way full circle. I think at our first presentation, we talked about, we're here for spiritual, emotional, environmental wellness. And we need to work on physical, but it also comes full circle that getting out and doing some of these other things can complete the circle of wellness by unleashing our creative side and intellectual side. So you can also experience the many-colored grace of God. And God can paint some beautiful things.
Where's that?
That is actually on the Washington coast. It's near Cape Alava, which actually is the westernmost point in the continental United States. It's not the very tip, it's down just a bit, but that was a beautiful sunset we had out there on the coast.
That's where we went to the LaPush.
What is the side dynamic?
Yeah, it's right out, yes, that's right out from LaPush.
Oh gosh, because it looks just like where we were.
It's gorgeous. Oh yeah, there'd be Forks fans.
Right.
It's high dynamic range.
Yes.
What does that do, really? Is it compensating for flare light in the camera?
Well, it doesn't. It. What we're doing is you shoot one picture, two stops underexposed. You shoot one right on where it should be, and two stops overexposed. Then, actually, you can do this in Photoshop. I also have a program called Photomatics, and it sandwiches these images together, and it takes the parts of the photo that are, you know, darker, and it takes that from the one that's more overexposed, and the ones that are, so it takes the best parts of all the photos. Then it gives you a menu. It's like you can have it this way, this way, this way. It doesn't just give you one photo. So you choose one of those, and then after you choose one of those, you can do some tweaking. And so I can make my photo look real, like that one looked like it was painted. But I can make it look real, too. You know, I can go either way on that. So it's very creative.
So it's kind of stitch the pictures together. I mean, there's always some little movement between frames, I would think.
Well, if that's where I use the tripod.
But even there, isn't there some vibration or something?
There are. I guess the better the tripod. I mean, I mentioned it on that one slide. Just recently, I got a carbon fiber tripod. That the carbon fiber is light and also has less vibration as well. The other thing, and I think I didn't take it out. Oh, I just threw this in. This is a little thing that I hook into my camera, and I can use this for using it as a shutter release.
Oh, shutter.
And I can also, the other thing, if I'm doing a long exposure, the only other way I could do it, I have to hold the shutter down, and of course, by the time you hold it, if you have a minute exposure, you know, your hand starts to shake and things. So this one, it's all just connected. You just go, you know, and so you can open the shutter and keep that shutter open for a while. So, you obviously, the point-and-shoots have less options than a camera like this, but can still do a lot of things. So, and you can get little tiny tripods, those little tiny ones that you can set point and shoot cameras up on. So,
actually, we have a hiking pole that the knob unscrews, there's a quarter.
Yes, and then you get makes a monopod out of it,
which is better than
that's great. Than nothing, yeah. That helps a whole lot.
Okay. I went to one of the graduations of my grandkids back in Ohio, and they weren't allowed to take tripods into the. To the hall.
Right.
So this is my walking stick, you know, so I get in my
great idea. You bring the monopod in or bring the hiking stick and turn it into a monopod.
I'm an old man, I gotta use a walking stick.
Great idea.
Of course you got arrested, but what the heck?
No,
I'm okay. So
very interesting.
I have one comment to make at the beginning when you were showing how we're like drive-through generate, you know, this, we're a nation of drive-through and anything not to get out of the car to do things. We had a couple people visit our school from Rwanda, and one of the kids asked them, what is the number one difference that you see between your country and ours? And we thought it would be food, the restaurants, the stores, and both of them said without a doubt it was the lack of people. Because we never see people in Rwanda. There are people everywhere. Everywhere you go, people are walking everywhere.
Oh.
And he said, and in your country, everyone's in clothes
in cars.
Yeah. And it's very rare to see people walking up and down the street.
That's
they hit them because you're not used to it.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, that was the number one difference that both said, without a doubt. It was the lack of people that we saw.
Right. I mean, and it's a kind of a sad commentary sometimes on our society, because we talked about, you know, yesterday with the some of the diseases and things that have been perpetuated.
But the thing is, those countries become more prosperous, like China, they all want cars. India, they all want cars.
Right.
I mean, that's status.
That's right.
Their health situation.
Yeah.
Because Rwandans are fairly healthy.
Well, right.
Yeah.
I have to back up and say I do have a very satisfying hiking experience, but I don't get any speed. I worked down at the Wetlands of Conservancy on the Pacific Ocean down there, and I can take a walk back up about it's only about three quarters of a mile, and up in the palm trees is where the blue heron nests.
Oh.
It's amazing how hard it is to find them. I mean, they're huge, but they can
huge
be...
Huge nest, yeah.
Right.
I never see the nest. I just see a bird kind of in between them. But that's a real incentive.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so
and in fact, I put the bird watching in there.
Yeah, and I thought, I can't add to the list because that's what I do.
Right.
But I don't walk fast enough.
You know what? You don't have to walk fast.
Just
you don't have.
You just need
to get out and move. Yeah.
Well, I like it as if I'm out there doing something. At least I'm not eating. I'm not sitting at home eating.
Yeah.
It's like there's some time that I'm not just.
Right.
And we're not big TV fans.
No, we are.
Well, you guys have a higher pressure life. You unwind with TV. At least I would assume that's what it is.
It is.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
We like to laugh.
Yes.
Okay.
We watch that show every night before we go to bed, Keeping Up Appearances.
Thanks.
We laugh. It's so silly.
Oh, thank you very much. I have one question for you, too. That's totally off topic. What was on your first presentation topic? My daughter's the one that asked about the shin splints.
Right.
She's
right.
Been going down and soaking in the Railroad Creek every day. She stands up to her knees.
That's great.
It is, and it seemed to be working fine. And today she woke up and they were back, so she's massaging and doing everything. My question is, how does that turn into a stress fracture? Because hers ended up, she had fractures in both legs.
Right.
How does that work if one is the muscle and the tendon? How does it turn
into
the bone?
Well, because if there's enough stress onto the bone that causes that irritation where the tendons hook on, it can be enough stress to cause microscopic cracks in the bone as well.
Okay. Yeah, because when she had the stress fractures, it was far different from the day-to-day just pain of the shin splints. But I never understood how that transferred.
Right. And you probably had just really, really point, tender, single, as opposed to...
Yeah,
just
hers
the,
is all up and down.
Right.
My other daughter. Hers was, when we went to the doctor, he found he goes, you've got stress fractures on both, so she had this cast. And there's just really no way to avoid them, right? I mean, she rested, she took 3 days off, she iced.
Once you get them, I guess, kind of going in, you got to make sure that you're gradually increasing your intensity, and that you're going with good flexibility.
She doesn't stretch.
Right. Probably even in the future, when she gets rid of these, is prior to going into a season that, or you know, workout regimen, that she does some strengthening exercises.
Okay.
A lot of times you can just hook a like a bucket with a handle on it and just put something in it, that something of weight, and just lift your toes up.
Okay.
That helps to strengthen some of the, also some toe raise kind of activities, walking on your toes.
Oh, okay.
Walking on your heels.
Because she ran with them last year.
Yeah.
Because it didn't hurt when she was running.
No, it doesn't.
It only hurt when she was done.
Usually when we talk about the stages of shin splints, the first one is it just hurts it at a certain time, like after or during.
She's like a half mile into her race. She said they just kind of disappeared. I'm like, I don't know if that's good or not.
Yeah. and then when we get to the final stage, they hurt while you're running. They hurt after you run, and sometimes they just hurt all the time.
And that's the danger time.
Yes.
That's the big, before you get to...
What's next to the fracture?
Yeah, and the key is when that generalized pain becomes very localized.
Right, okay, yeah. We've gone the route with her.
Yeah.
And her doctor said a lot of it was attributed to her foot structure.
Yes.
He goes, you're just not built to be a distance competitive runner. Because you can jog lightly and be fine, but
so she has a flatter foot, and so and really you don't get the shock absorption in the foot.
He said you're never going to be able to compete, But the other one has great feet for it. They're ugly, but they're good.
Right.
Hers are long and slender, and hers are just chubby, they're fatter, but they've got a great support system.
Right.
But here we are again with this one.
Yep.
I thought, oh, I'm going to have one that can run. All right, well, thanks.
Sure.
It's been a
thank you very much.
Good.
I love your ending.
Yes.
Like yesterday's, too.
And you know what? I put the common theme in. Yeah. And I found I've had a few photos that worked well.
I think the got to have a whole book of those photos. I'm sure others have incorporated something like that into theirs too over the summer. It'd be nice to have a whole book of those
many colors.
Theme pictures. Yeah, because one yesterday was good at the fruit and vegetable market.
Yeah. And in fact, it was kind of funny. You know, I shot that, I think, earlier this year, and I was going through. I goes, wait a minute, that'd be a great one to finish with. So, because this God has so many colors.
Are you guys going to the push?
We got to clean our room yet.
Well,
talk about procrastinating.
Yeah, she's talking about we go to the forks.
I mean, today.
I thought we're going to
push
to lunch. Are
you
going
to the push when you go to forks?
Is the push the beach thing?
Yeah.
The movie?
Well, yeah, but apparently we missed First Beach. I talked to a friend.
Did you go down on Second Beach?
Well, we started hiking down to it, and I guess I misread the map because we didn't have much time to get back to get the ferry. Well, we actually wanted to eat in Port Angeles, too, on the way home. But we were hiking out, and finally we're like, where are we? How far away is this beach? It turned out it was 2 miles from the road where we had pulled off.
Oh, from where you pulled? Because it's only... Because I've camped down on Second Beach.
Have you?
Yeah.
See,
and Third.
When we drove all the way out to the end, it seemed like as far as we could go, we got out there and walked along the beach, which had, you know, things like this.
Wait, now, you were down in La Push.
Yes.
Now, that's First Beach there in La Push.
Okay.
So now, I'm not sure which, it's on, I guess if you're driving in La Push, it would be on the left.
Yeah, I don't know. We just kept driving thinking we passed.
We were in the reservation.
Yeah, but if you were right there in La Push on the beach, that's First Beach, which is the one in the Twilight book.
Okay, so we did.
First Beach. Now, of course, the next one, you drive up the road, there's like a little place.
Yeah.
There's a place to park.
That's Second Beach.
That's Second Beach, and it's only about a mile down to the beach if you're
pulled off. We kept walking. And
now, there's another one, you go up a little bit farther, and you can guess, that's Third Beach.
Third Beach, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's just all gorgeous.
Now, and in fact, I even have a few pictures. Well, yeah, because this is on that hike. This is not on that hike. This is on the hike with Annie.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is further up the coast. No, I'm off here. No. Annie's hike, we left from Lake Ozette.
Yeah.
Which is up the coast a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Okay. The other ones I went with. No, Steve, that's the one we did Third Beach, and we actually we're going down the coast, and there's a few places you actually have to climb these rope ladders. So you have to get over the headlands, because if the tides are, well, first of all, there's places you can't get around because it's a big rock outcropping into the water.
Right. My principal warned me. She's like, there are people. She took a picture of First Beach, and she said there are people that will get stuck. Like they, by the tides that, like, they go down there and they think they're fine, but then they don't account for coming back when
exactly.
the tide comes in.
You have to know.
So there's lots of rescues.
Right.
To get people out.
Yeah, that does happen.
So is that why they put the ropes in?
Well, for two reasons. Some places that if the tide comes in, you can get around with over another route. And there's some places, even when the tide is out as far as it'll go, you can't get around. So you have to climb over the headlands, and so it's a very interesting hike.
Just the landscape is so beautiful.
Yeah.
But when we went to Forks, it's like Forks is capitalized on the whole Twilight thing, and it's been prosperous. We went to La Push, and we didn't feel that as much.
No.
It was more depressed, and the people.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought.
Well, La Push is so small too.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, Forks is always a little bit bigger, but.
Right.
Yeah, we know that area. My mom lives in Port Townsend.
Okay, where is that?
If you were to keep going, so you came around the peninsula.
Yeah, we just did on 101.
Yeah, 101, and at Port Angeles is about an hour drive. You just keep going. Keep going east on 101, and you have to take a little...
What ferry did you take, the Bremerton?
No. Did you go to, you went to Victoria?
No, we went across the Puget Sound.
Okay, let's see. Oh, okay.
Huge ferry that takes all these cars. We couldn't believe it all fit on.
And you came right into Seattle with it?
No, actually we drove.
Oh, so you must have took...
from Seattle. It was about an hour drive, wasn't it, from Seattle
okay,
to that?
So,
so you must have took the... you went into a little town of Kingston?
Yes.
Kingston.
Yes, yes.
And you came into Edmonds then?
Yes. That's
that's the ferry we always take when we're going over to see my mom.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
It's pretty... Port Townsend's pretty close to Squim.
Oh, I've never seen
Yeah, you wouldn't go through Squim?
Yeah.
You wouldn't go through Port Townsend on 101. You'd be about 8 miles...
Oh.
It's an old Victorian seaport
it's,
town.
Yeah, if you ever have a chance to go
is
back, it's
I think we have
very
to
unique.
In this first speech. I mean, we went to a dead end and overseen the dead end.
Yeah.
There was nowhere else to go. But it didn't have, someone I was talking to said it was really a big expanse of beach, first beach.
Wait, we didn't go down on first beach.
Maybe we did. Maybe that's what we were.
But if you were, if you went onto the beach... In La Push, right?
Yeah,
the town.
We were in La Push.
I think you probably were on
okay.
First Beach then.
Okay. Because it looked like the pictures I had made this Twilight Tours book guide, and it looked like the pictures.
Yeah. But now, and Second Beach is just a beach unto itself.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of people just go down and spend the day. So we went down there and camped for a night too. But Third Beach is the one where you can. You can do some hiking and actually go over the ladders and
very cool.
And things,
I will definitely come back. And this is so beautiful. That whole drive was amazing. That Crescent Lake.
Yes. That's very pretty.
Oh, my goodness. We were
like, well, I want to live here.
I know. It was good for my husband because he was doing the trip mainly for us because we liked the books and we wanted to see where they took place. But it was nice that there was so much beautiful scenery for him, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Hey, you're welcome. I have no idea what happened to everyone's hand today. Those things missing them. Because I went over on my preview and they were there.
I could see that.
Okay.
That's a nice family.
Mm-hmm. They've been...
Shirley and Coop.
He's been to all three of my talks. Okay. I'm done for 3 hours. We're back till tomorrow night. We got evening talks too.
Again, what would be nice is to show the difference between your raw picture, you know, your first picture, and then when you...
Oh. Yeah, but I don't think I can't...
The DDRs, the three different ones, these are what it was made out of,